Just before we introduce our next guest quickly, Scott, I said to Kate, I've been to a tourist attraction that she's never been to and never will. What is it?
I believe it's the World Trade Center.
It is the World Trade Center, Scott. Kate eventually
I did get it in the end.
Take the two bottles of the Bortley Heathcote wood-fired sparkling Shiraz. And the reason I mentioned it is I went up to the top, but it was foggy.
Oh, same thing.
Could not see a thing. Yeah. So altitude presents its problems. But you know what altitude does give us that is very useful?
Breathlessness.
What does it give us, Salvatore Malatesta from Sonali?
Potentially excellent coffee.
Correct.
Ooh, potentially.
As we discovered on the television program, the two things you need for coffee are humidity and altitude. And
correct.
Which is presumably why Australia doesn't produce a great deal of coffee.
Indeed. That's a shame. I wish it was different, but it's not.
Who knows? If global warming's real, we might be growing it at Mount Buller. Who knows? Salvatore is coffee legend, co-owner of Sonali, and joined by Julian Angelatos, creator of Learn to Taste Coffee. Good morning to you both.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Very well.
Kate is going to be the guinea pig here, but you are introducing the world Learn to Taste Coffee because we say we love our coffee. Do we really know how to taste it?
So we're blessed in Melbourne in that we're a very mature coffee and food and beverage market. And 13 years ago when I started the journey of specialty coffee, most people I asked where coffee came from told me it came from a tin. Very few. Very few knew that it was a cherry and a fruit. And so I had my epiphanal moment when I decided I needed to be evangelical about the education platform. And so I, you know, went a bit crazy with the messaging, and I think we've made some changes and pioneered some things. And now in Melbourne, it's pretty hard to get a bad cup of coffee, I think.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of lexicon that people take for granted, you know, single origin, single state, micro-locked, harvest dates and all that kind of thing. And we do cupping every week at Sonali.
What's cupping?
I was about to say, stop there. What's cupping?
So cupping is a professional way of tasting coffee.
Uh-huh.
And we do it every week for our punters. But the truth is you can only fit 8 or 10 in a room. So we thought, how do we continue the work that we started 13 years ago by trying to make sure that we stop the world drinking bad coffee, and how do we get the punters to understand? So they need memory impressions, memory banks. And so what we did was we thought, well, why don't we bring it to their lounge room? Well, we can take it home and they can join a chat forum and they can follow
them.
So
when you say this Learn to Taste Coffee, this is actually a kit that people use at home.
Correct. Followed by an online forum.
Correct. That's 4 modules. And, we always talk about origin. We talk about processing, we talk about quality, and we talk about roasting. And you could make a mess of delicious coffee at any one of those steps. So what we're saying is, well, let's learn it in modules in your own home so you can not be, you know, embarrassed to make mistakes, and we can demystify the black magic that's around some of the lexicon of the specialty coffee world.
Okay, there's your guinea pig sitting over there.
I'm quite nervous right now.
So grateful it's her. What are you going to get her to taste first? Because what you have is you have 2, 4, 6. You have 6 cups of coffee. Is it warm?
It is warm. Okay. And so our coffee educator Sue's done all the work outside, so we've just got the easy bit.
Yep.
And the easy bit is tasting a bad coffee, an average coffee, and an excellent coffee, and then a light roast, a medium roast, and a dark roast.
Okay.
So what I suggest, this is a cupping spoon.
Yep.
We make some slurping sounds on air, I hope. Like that. And we start with over here the light
roast.
So
we're going to do the roasts. Yep.
Yeah. So this module is the exact same coffee bean. Roasted 3 different ways.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So the only varying distinction in how it tastes
is how roasted it is.
Exactly. And so that actually means that you can then learn what roast
so
does to the taste of coffee.
Just putting some on the spoon.
And this
Salvatore.
Sounds very important, like tasting wine.
Are you being serious?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. You want the aeration?
You want the aeration? I was about to say aeration, Salvatore.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
No, go. Mm-hmm. So dip the spoon in the hot water, and then go into spit it out like a spittoon. On air.
That's good. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, so that was a light roast. And it does taste like a pretty light coffee.
What does light mean?
So light means...
Taste or colour?
Colour, right. Which obviously affects the caramelisation of the sugar. So in this light roast, you should be tasting celery, grass.
More vegetable tasting things.
So the caramelisation of the sugars hasn't happened enough. So we're not happy.
Right.
So in the next one, which we think is our balanced roast...
Right. Okay. That's a medium. Oh, Salvatore, I can't do it like that.
Go on.
So you've gone light, medium, dark, and medium is the best, is it?
In this scenario. You should taste sour cherry, vanilla sugar, sourdough, chocolates.
Yeah.
And you should get a distinct
contrast. The vanilla, caramelisation?
No GST, no mayonnaise. Can you actually
taste that?
When
he said panela, I could imagine that sugar. Yeah,
it's a brown sugar.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, dehydrated cane sugar from Colombia.
Oh, it's really lovely. Oh, okay. It's lovely sugar.
And Colombia presumably produces, it's got altitude and humidity.
Oh, it's got all the beautiful things.
And what's the closest to Australia? Is it Papua New Guinea?
PNG, correct. PNG. Yeah, we get some coffees from PNG. They have a funky flavour that we enjoy. But our Colombian, Brazil are traditional coffee growing regions that make outstanding coffee every year.
Julian's bursting here.
I just want to jump in and say that in the Origin module, it's exciting to be able to showcase a PNG coffee. So we had our Lucy, our head buyer, spend a bit of time trying to find one that really showcased what's exciting about the Oceanic coffees is that they're now getting much better. So their reputation traditionally was that they weren't necessarily as great, but they're now making really cool coffee there, and we're showcasing that in the Origin module.
Right, these two have been talking. What have you been talking about?
I'm just about to taste the dark roast. Is that what I call it?
Tasting the one that we sort of pretended to stuff up, okay?
Right, okay. So you pretended to stuff it by roasting it too long?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And so the reason why...
What do you...
She's tucking acting clothes. Yeah, give us that number 9 expression.
Well, it kind of is a bit smoky. Yeah.
Like an ashtray? Like,
toast. Smoky, yeah. I wouldn't, I'm not gonna be wrapped if I bought it, and that's what I'm getting.
Is over roasted caused by temperature or time?
Both. You can stuff it up both ways.
Right.
So just like cooking something, you can if you cook it, the heat's too big, it might be the reason you overcooked, or you just cooked it for too long. But what's interesting is we have set the modules are deliberately setting quite significant extremes. So basically, allowing people to make it as easy as possible to tell the difference and to then, and this is what the manual that comes with the course will help people understand, is that this basically setting up your spectrum. So you understand, okay, this is really dark roasted coffee. This is really light roasted coffee. This is balanced coffee.
So, but what are they getting? So are they getting beans that they then need to grind, or are you giving them the ground coffee already?
So there's two versions of the course. There's something to get people started when they've got nothing. So that includes a hand grinder, the cupping kit.
Oh, wow.
A cupping spoon. All of the four different modules and the manual, some video classes and a bag of our coffee. And then if you're already set with gear, we've got a lighter pack that just gives you the cupping kit and the coffee.
Yeah. Righto, let me ask you some rapid fire questions. Oh, and Lou's on the line as well with a decent question. If you add milk to coffee, does it make it more difficult to make the distinctions that you make?
Absolutely. Some great numbers for you. No, maybe 10 years ago, 98% of our customers were drinking milk coffees.
Yeah.
We're down to about 86%. Uh-huh. We celebrate black drinkers.
Right, okay.
That we want to celebrate the subtle characteristics of the single origin, single micro lots and harvest dates. You add milk, it changes that. But
I know I should be drinking black coffee. Mm. I'm just going to commit myself to it.
But the milk's also important. We can talk about that for hours because we use an unhomogenized, biodynamic, Demeter certified milk, which is delicious.
From cows?
Yes.
I'm confused. Yeah.
High fat. You know, fat, sugar, salt tastes good.
Yeah, of course. That's what makes food taste good.
Yeah.
I want to know, are we... let's have Lou to ask a question. Lou, good morning.
Good morning. Question for the coffee maestro. I spent a month in Italy, just got back a few weeks ago, from Rome to the mountains of Molise to Sorrento to Cinque Terre to Firenze. It doesn't matter where I went, from shops to little espresso bars to service stations, no matter where I went, I got a short macchiato, €1, and it was always perfect. How do they do it? How do they do it so effortlessly? Is it the water? Is it the temperature? Is it their blend? What is it?
Okay, Lou, what is it? Salvatore Nella Testa from Sonali?
So, Lou, Molise, is that where the family's from? That's where we're from as well. No one ever says Molise when they go to Italy.
Where's Molise?
It's next to Abruzzo, in between Rome and Naples.
Oh, beautiful.
So the standard of espresso making in Italy is cultural. So it is a struggle to find a barista who doesn't know how to operate a machine and pump out a decent espresso coffee.
Yeah.
And if you're having it with milk and potentially sugar, which is a standard fare in most of Italy, you're not going to go wrong. Where Italians are limited in terms of specialty movement is that the espresso is limited by legislation in terms of pricing.
Where do they get their coffee from? Where's the nearest place with humidity and altitude to Italy?
They don't.
They don't?
Yeah, same place we all get our coffee from, which is coffee-growing regions. It's just Italians have been famous for espresso because they pioneered...
So I suppose Africa would be closest for the Italians, would it?
It would still be Colombia and Brazil, though. Mm. But Africa's, so Kenyan, Burundi, Ethiopia, great coffees.
I want to ask about how big a wine snobs we are, because Patrick Dangerfield was asked recently what was the thing he most missed about Adelaide, and he said the coffee. He was speaking very tongue-in-cheek. That makes us sound like enormous coffee snobs. Are we?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think we were rated the most pretentious thing ever on BuzzFeed about 10 years
ago.
Is
that right?
Absolutely. Yeah, 24 most pretentious things.
How often do you speak to people who've, you know, been on wonderful holidays but come back and say, I just want a coffee? I just want a good coffee, because they know they'll go somewhere here and get it. But I must admit, Sal, like when you're talking about the milk and how that changes things and that it can hide those sort of parts of the coffee, I change my coffee order based on where I am. If I think it's not going to be good, I go, just give me a really milky coffee.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not going to taste so bad.
Indeed, and then that's correct. I've sort of lost the question now. Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, when people come back from overseas, they're always pretty happy to be back in Melbourne drinking a coffee. But what I find is we've exported the Melbourne coffee culture. I mean, the idea of a Melbournean barista in the UK or LA's advertised.
Or New York
is a big
deal. Joe Watson, I think he got a coffee shop in New York.
Strange you mention him. He's a good friend of mine, and we're looking at doing something with him, I hope. So I hope he's listening.
Where are you
going to
be doing more with
this, Joe? This is hilarious. Can I just quickly say, so because when I first joined the business, I'm sort of working on this course with Sal, one of the first things I said was, oh, we should get Joe Watson involved. And Sal and I, anyway, Joe goes to the cafe all the time. And, we've had a discussion, and I'll let Sal take over.
No, it went more like this. He said, we should get Joe Watts involved. I'm like, yeah, that's easy. I'll just call him. He's like, oh, whatever. The next day, when he was in our office in shorts and a T-shirt.
Are you going to do something with Joe here or OS?
In New York.
In New York?
Yeah.
Wow. Got a name for it?
Not yet.
Number four.
Yeah.
He's enjoying the early. He deserves to enjoy the early stages of his retirement.
He does.
Let him rest now.
And he probably needs to agree to our terms first.
Have we got any coffee at all, Frank? Have you got coffee in Australia somewhere?
Look, yes. I don't know if the guys forgotten up in Cairns here, Mareeba, and the Tablelands. They've got quite a reasonable size coffee plantation going there, and they do. I mean, the coffee's not probably as good as Colombian coffee, but they're trying pretty hard, and they've got some quite nice coffee up there. They're experimenting with different beans from all over the world, and the coffee's quite good. Like I said, if you fish it with milk.
Frank, we thank you. Take a couple of bottles of the Bortley Heathcote Woodfired Estate Sparkling Shiraz. Byron Bay as well.
There is. Yeah. Look, the other thing about coffee is you need labour. You've got to hand-pick the cherries when they're ripe. And if you machine pick them and you get green cherries, you stuff the whole thing.
Hey, this is a great Christmas gift for coffee lovers.
Oh, yeah.
If people who want a greater appreciation of coffee, head to we don't do WWWs anymore. Head to Sandali or Starley, STALI.com.au. Salvatore Malatesta, coffee legend, co-owner of Sandali and business partner with Job Watson. And Julian Angelatos, creator of Learn to Taste Coffee. Go to sandali.com.au. Lovely to meet you both, and thanks for bringing in so much stuff.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for having us. Thank you.
Learn to Taste Coffee Kit. Great idea for Christmas. Listening to A Movable Feast, follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Search A Movable Feast 3AW. Up next, what are the best dishes you take to dinner parties or barbecues, because we speak with a bloke who knows what he's talking about. It's 26 to midday on